Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we are going to put an amazing, important, and really community-changing spotlight on the Southwest for this next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening. Joining me in studio for the next 30 minutes is J.J. Swinney, who is the Director of Construction at Habitat for Humanity Tucson. And any of my regular listeners know it is a big, huge place. It occupies a place in my heart because of all the work they do. And Habitat is not just about building homes, which is very important, but they are also about building communities and hope. And that adds so much to the picture. It's the don't give people a hand out, give them a hand up. And they walk the walk. I know so many people there, and hopefully I will get to know more people from around the country and the world because of our relationship with them. And JJ is one of the critical people on the Tucson construction team, and I can say from personal experience that he personifies those core values, and JJ, you have fun doing it as the director of construction, and I'm so glad you're here.
I do.
It's great to have you all to myself for 30 minutes in this studio, and so much more importantly, for some of the things you shared off-air that I hope to we'll get to on-air. So not only thanks for being here, but thanks for being a champion out there in the community on so many levels. So talk about your history with Habitat. How did that get started?
Well, I started in high school in 1996.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I was 15 years old at Sarita High School. I like to think of it, and this is how it happened. I was kind of a misled youth, raised by my grandparents out in Sarita, and there was not a lot to do in a small town, so we were kind of rowdy, and I know that the wood shop teacher kind of took us under his wing and said, I can save these kids, and so he took us into the wood shop, where we learned a lot of advanced carpentry and things like that, and for a long time, we just thought we were there to, you know, chop up wood, have fun. It was a two-hour block. We got to go in a real house that was built on the campus. Didn't know much more about it. I think that Chuck Gallagher was a teacher. He wanted to just get us involved in the technical aspect of it. And the story was to come later of what we were doing. And I can tell you that it was very impactful in my life.
You didn't know the web was being woven.
I didn't know the web was
around your heart.
Yes. And so one day we were in the house, and Chuck, the teacher, was talking about what we were doing, that we were building an affordable house, and not everybody had a house. Right. I thought, well, everybody lives in something, right? Young kid,
right.
Still
yeah.
Thinking that way. I had a house to go home to. And he said, we're building this for a family that doesn't have a safe and healthy environment to live in. Another kid like you is waiting for this house. Completely changed our perspective of how hard we worked on the home, the way we looked at the home, the thought about other kids not having a home. And he even took it a step further. So he took us out to a dedication. It was my first dedication. Keep in mind, you got some young guys and gals
right,
out there.
Right,
you know,
right.
We're
the cool
teenagers.
Kids are here.
Yeah, the cool kids are here. We know what's going on. So we go out to this dedication, and I remember this like it was yesterday. You know, you can see the image in your head, and I can tell you it's what wakes me up in the morning. It keeps my drive going at Habitat. So I'm standing in the living room. We're talking to the single mother. And Chuck is introducing us as the kids are helping build, you know, the home just like hers for another family. And there was a child running back and forth. She was about 5-6 years old. And actually, I did the research. I had the homeowner services department do the research and found out her name was Alyssa. And she was running back and forth in the house. And she said, this place is like a castle. I can't believe, you know, that we're going to live here. And she said, Mom, who else is going to live here? And her mom said, it's just us.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said, this place is huge. And you can hear, you know,
yeah,
you can hear
yeah,
little
yeah.
Feet piddle-paddle, just to give you an image, because
right.
We're on the radio.
Yes, yes.
Running back and forth in the house. And then her mom said, you can pick whatever room you want. And she's like, I want the biggest room in here. And I looked at her mom and I said, what does she mean by who else is going to live here? And she said, we're coming from a studio apartment where we live with, you know, several other family members. There's about 8 of us that live in there.
In a studio.
In a studio. You know, it was just kind of one room. Stacking in there. They had bunk beds, and she slept on a sleeping bag on the floor next to the couch. She told us this story, and I looked down. The little girl had come running up to us at this time, and she goes, she looked at her mom just to, like, reassure, like, we're going to live here, us, in this house. And she goes, yes, forever.
Yes. And that's one of the things you wish you had caught on video.
Yes,
forever,
and
to
I can tell you, yeah, and I can tell you, going back in the van that we were taking out there, a school van, heading back to the school, you look around that the little van, and again, keep in mind, we got teenagers there, very strong teenagers. You had a bunch of people with puckered up lips and tears in their eyes, trying not to cry, because every one of us was going back to that house we were going to build on that campus, knowing now what that means and why we needed to do it. It was very, very powerful.
And that's the work that changes lives forever. You just, once you get a house, we think of it like, you know, it's our privilege. We have a house. We don't think of it as that. We take it for granted. Everybody has a house. But then that transforms them, and you've changed a generation.
Yeah.
And the next generation, the next generation. It's, if anybody's listening and can't get what the magic of Habitat is, you just described it, and it happens on a regular basis all over the country.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that you know, that not only did that day change a lot for me, but the school build in general was two-edged. The lessons that I was learning in there were, they would, you know, and being an adult now, back then I knew everything, right? Now I'm starting to really soak all this stuff in and understand what it meant, and going, wish I could go back to the younger me and talk to the younger me and do more. But we were learning a skill that was going to change our lives forever. We were helping a family, but at the same time, the reality is that not all kids are going to go to college. We want to think that everyone's going to go to college. I was not fortunate enough to go to college directly after high school, but I was able to go directly into the workforce, and I had a skill that was going to put me through college. I was able to pay for college and get a bachelor's degree. I'm currently working on my master's, but I had skills from construction that I was able to go right in the workforce, provide a living. I ended up having, I got married. I have two children. I was able to raise my children.
Two adorable children.
I was able to raise my children, but because of this school build program. And the very last school build that we have here in the Tucson area is down in Sarita. And we're still building a Habitat house there, and it needs help. But this is a program that teaches kids a real skill, that they can leave school and go get a job. And these programs are falling apart. They're falling off of schools. And it breaks my heart, because I know that a lot of my friends went right into the industry and are providing for their families today with those skills.
You could have ended up in jail. I mean, I'm not even joking. I don't know how bad a ruffian you were. Where does that word come from? I mean, who uses the word ruffian?
Yeah.
But this is not a joke.
Yeah.
And the way that they are eviscerating those kind of programs. And not only can not every kid go to college, every kid shouldn't. Those values and builders, and what do you do when you need a plumber? Mm-hmm. You need one. What do you do when you need an electrician? So we're going to get off topic, but you and I have to come back and do a show and bring some people in. They defunded it, and then there was a big fight. But those kind of programs are good for all the community and turns at-risk kids, whatever level, into taxpaying citizens.
Yeah.
Look at you. I mean, it just, yeah, let's get started on that.
And I know, just because we work on the job site, we have 24 inmates out of the Department of Corrections, and I've talked a lot about that program, and I've had several of those inmates tell me, wow, I wish there would have been a program like that for me.
Somewhere to focus what's in every human being, which is the ability to live to their gifts.
It also had an end mission. Like I said, it was double-edged. You know, we were helping a family at the same time we were learning. That program helped me just as much as I got to help someone else.
Yeah, and forever. Forever. And then, it goes on and on. So you have a lot of exciting things come up, and T will be listening to this and saying, okay, guys, let's get on with the show. Gina, you went off on a tangent here. So talk about Blitz Building for Sustainable Shelter. Very exciting. Talk to us about what that's going to be.
It is very exciting. So we're doing something very unique. We're going to do a Blitz Build October 20th through the 28th. I keep saying the 19th because that's the day I actually have to be there.
That's why you'll be
really
there from sunrise way past
our
sunset.
Orientation. So it's October 20th through the 28th. We're going to build four houses in 8 days. And we have put the word out to all of the local builders, all of our local contractors, all of our big partners. This would not be possible and cannot be possible if we don't have everyone in this community cheering
community
for
volunteers.
Us and
yep.
just really pushing yep. forward to help us do this, because it is a lot of material, a lot of labor, a lot of time, talent, and treasure, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears on that during that week. Hopefully no blood. I'm also the safety officer. But we...
I know you got on me for putting my hat on.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to go near there. And you said, Gina, put your hat on.
It's going to be a big day for us. And, you know, serving four families in 8 days, building them a new home that they're going to build a foundation on and live in, you know, and
I have to ask you this, like, can you really, how do you ensure that you can build four quality homes in 8 days? Are you like inspector major to make sure? You're the director of construction. How do you do that with volunteers, especially?
Well, so
how can you ensure quality?
We have some rock star volunteers. We also have some
rock star leaders.
Rock star regulars. We have some rock star community leaders that have come forward. Just the other night, we had a kind of a blitz build party to bring the community donors that we have together and talk about Blitz Build, how we're going to coordinate the schedule. And we had somebody step forward and say, hey, I don't own a company, but I'm a safety officer and I can give 1 day just to walk around and be the safety officer. That's helpful.
That's huge.
It's
yeah.
huge. Anything
yes.
that you can do.
Big.
The city of Tucson has offered to help us out with inspections, giving us two inspections a day. We have a lot of the for-profit industry, some nonprofit people helping us, as well as my crew leaders. They come from all walks of life, and each person has their specialty. You know, we've got an electrical union here in town that's coming out to send their journeyman electricians
Amazing.
Out. And so everybody's going to be helping inspect those. Of course, my staff will be walking around and making sure that it gets done. But our biggest inspectors are the homeowners, because they're going to be working side by side with us, and they know that that's their...
And they're there.
That's one of their houses or their neighbor's house. And they tell you, like, let's do this right, right? And the one thing I have to say about volunteers is that they build a quality product, because it's different when someone's building something because they want to, when they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart versus just doing it to collect
a
paycheck.
They care about who's going to live there.
There's an extra box of love
yes.
in every house, and it comes in a nail form.
I love that. Oh, I'm glad you got that in. See, that's a tweetable thing. There's an extra box of love in every house, and it comes in a nail form.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, I want to say when I go with Chapman, because we do a home build with the Chapman Community Green Team every year, and you hoard, like, it's like herding cats. We had 65 people there, I think, last year on two shifts. It surprises me the number of people who come that really do have some areas of expertise. They do. They know how to hit a hammer. They know how to do drywall. They're good at painting. But not everybody comes, like me, wanting to be in charge of snacks and taking pictures.
That's
but
an important
need
job,
me too. It's like,
too.
I got to get it out there on social media. Let's talk. So, four houses in 4 days. Hope you get
four
a lot.
Four houses
in
8 days.
In 8 days. Yeah. Oh, my God. I just almost gave you a heart attack.
Yeah, you did. Don't cut my time in half.
Okay,
8 days
sorry.
Is already short enough.
So, a little brief about Habitat. We cover a lot about Habitat for Humanity. We tweet about it. I write about it. I'm a believer in it. I just went to the Rainbow Build with my friend Kevin the other night. That's pretty exciting. So the philosophy is a hand up, not a handout, which we know. And tell us a couple of other aspects about the philosophy of Habitat. I think it's really important in terms of the people have to participate and all of that.
They do. So our homeowners really get put through the works. And, you know, there's a lot of myths about Habitat. And one of the myths is that our homeowner services department or a representative of Habitat will one day call up a homeowner and just say, hey, congratulations, you've won a house. That it does not work like that.
So
I can tell
not.
You that. And
yeah,
I
yeah.
wish a homeowner was sitting next to me because
yeah.
they would give you just this terrible look going, oh, no, they earn a house. So what they do is they get a phone call that says, you've been selected to be a homeowner, a home buyer, and you're going to work hard the next 9 months to a year, work your butt off. You have to do 250 hours of sweat equity per adult. You have to attend a bunch of classes, and these classes range from how to balance a checkbook and how to do savings, how to be a good neighbor, what a homeowners association is, and we teach a green class. We talk about, you know, the house is only as green as the occupant. You can green build a house till you run out of check marks on
right.
the list.
Yes.
You have to use it right. It's about the occupant and how you utilize those resources. So there's those classes, and you know, the house is a 0% interest mortgage. They are buying the home. They are a home buyer. They're investing in helping another family change their life, right? Every mortgage that they pay is going towards, you know, our mission.
Right. So that's the what. What about the why? What kind of local need is there in Tucson? You know, you drive around, you think kumbaya. You and I don't think that.
No.
I mean, if you're involved at all in any way connected to this community, you know there's a lot to be done. So what do we need? What's the local need?
So 1 in 4 people live in conditions that compromise health and safety. And I can tell you...
1 in 4.
1 in 4. And I can tell you that, you know, not only with our new home program, but with our Brush with Kindness and our home repair, we go into some homes that really need the help. And a lot of the times we look at these homes, the homeowner, because you're so comfortable in your own home, and that's part of home ownership is the fact that that's a safe place for you, is that they've never taken the opportunity to kind of look around and see that it's unhealthy because you get so used to that being your home and you're so proud of it. Tucson, Arizona in general has a lot of houses that need help. Bad roofs. We have a lot of elderly that have no air conditioning and leaks. I've been in houses where there was an elderly woman living in there and she had pots and pans throughout the whole house. She was on oxygen because the indoor air quality was so poor in her home. She had no air conditioning, but she was okay. She was happy, good spirited, but she just didn't. She doesn't have the financial resource to change this. And I think that, you know, not only does she deserve, just like the rest of us, a healthy and safe place to go home to, but we can help her. And with our Brush with Kindness program, everybody has that house in their neighborhood where you look at it and you kind of go, that house could use some fixing up. And the curb appeal is, you know, kind of ugly. Have you ever gone over and asked why? Is the occupant disabled?
Instead of saying, "Oh yeah, they don't care about
they
where
don't
they
care,
live.
They're lazy."
Rarely the case.
Usually, we run into physical disabilities. They cannot get out and do it. You know, there's something traumatic that's happened.
Right.
They have really poor health conditions. So we are that organization that takes volunteers and
Brush
goes and knocks
kindness.
On that door. Brush with Kindness. And
gotta
we paint the
it.
House. And I can tell you we did one. We went out. We cleaned up the yard. We brought volunteers out. We dropped a dumpster in a cul-de-sac. And all the neighbors started coming out going, "Hey, what's going on here? You have all these people out here." They started helping us clean this yard up.
So it's community building.
Capacity building
and community.
Mm-hmm. And we cleaned
really
it up.
It really is transformative. I don't want people to think you guys go in, because once you go in and do that, changes happen and the community is frequently transformed. Is that an over-exaggeration?
No. If you go back to this house and you look at the house that we painted, which we do 40 a year, and if you go back and look at this house, all of the neighbors have started to paint their house and clean up because now you're the ugly house.
Oh, gosh.
Right? So it's
really
a little
good.
Bit of competitive. It's got the neighbors to talk to each other and really understand each other, which is that community piece. We don't just come into a neighborhood and say, "You're the ugly house, we're here to help." We knock and say, "How can we help? And do you need our help?"
So respectful.
So yeah.
So respectful.
Yeah. We don't know that we're the answer until we ask.
Right.
And they tell us, "Yes, I need that help," or "Here's what I need."
Lending a hand.
You cannot just show up and say, "I'm here to do this because it's better for you."
Right.
Really ask the occupant what they need and what their needs are.
I love it. I think it's like time is flying, and I want to get to the point about you think globally and act locally as a mantra, but with Habitat for Humanity, you think globally, act locally, and act globally. And I'd love if you would talk for a bit about you came back. You're on the heels of a trip to a global village trip, because it is the village, the planet is the village, to Chiapas. What was it like there? What happened? What are the needs? We need to help everyone. That's what sustainability is all about.
Yeah, so Habitat for Humanity Tucson is very unique in the fact that we are one of the affiliates that tithes. And a tithe is raising money locally to help globally. And so we've tithed over $1 million to Mexico. And
Habitat Tucson?
Habitat Tucson. Just Habitat Tucson. And I heard this morning that Habitat internationally has raised $243 million to tithe throughout the globe.
And we're going to do a show on that. I think Susan Yao is her name.
Yes.
She's head of tithing, and she's going to be on the show with T.
Yes. Oh, great.
Yeah.
So we've tithed over $1 million to Mexico, and I was
that
privileged.
Goes a long way, baby.
Yeah. To get the and that dollar goes very far in Mexico. And to get to go down to Chiapas, Mexico, and kind of see where this money's going and how it's impacting Mexico. And I can tell you that it was life-altering. It was just like that. It reminded me a lot of that day in high school going back. I've come back with a new mission. You know, we need a lot of help here locally, but globally there's a lot of need. I saw a huge difference, but there's really, really, there's kind of the wealthy class, and then there's the poor.
There's no middle class.
And the indigenous people of Chiapas have been kind of pushed out to the outside and not paid a lot of attention to, and the living conditions there are very poor. It didn't seem like there was a lot of education there for the indigenous people.
So did you build a house when you were there, or what was your role? And also, let's mention that you went with board members and other community volunteers from Tucson.
We did.
It's important there because they bring all of that energy and passion.
Yes, we had a board member, another staff, and two regular volunteers that are with us pretty much every day. They're basically staff. They're there every day. We went into this village, and we got to build these houses. They're very small. They're about 500 square feet compared to here. You know, they're mansions.
They love
them. They're all concrete block. We did what's called like a bucket brigade. So we mixed all this concrete in the middle of the street, and we put it in 5-gallon buckets, and we got in a line and handed it person to person till it got to the house, and then poured it. We made all the headers out of concrete. The entire roof was poured out of concrete. And all the kids walking up and down just looked in amazement as these houses were getting built. And the families were just so excited to have us there. Although we were just helping hands, and they are hard working there. The impact that it was making just to pour those roofs and get it done was amazing. We were really changing some lives there and building a safe place for the kids. You know, it's a drop in a bucket. You know, that's really what it was.
Drops. When I was talking about this last night at something I went to for my organization, Angel Charity, and I said, you really don't change the world. You have a mission to change the world, but when it comes down to it, what you really do is make a difference in the life of one child, and that's what changes the world.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing. I mean, it's a very emotional topic for me, because if you think, oh, I've got to change the world, it could be so vast. You went and changed individual lives that will change the world forever, forever and ever and ever. So
thank you.
It's great.
It was a great privilege.
Oh.
And if you can change that generational, you know, thinking and that, and maybe that child thinking that, you know, when I get big, I'm going to go help somebody like that. And if you can help your neighbor, I can tell you that I talk to my kids about it all the time. And I always say, you know, it's always good that if you're doing good and you can help someone else, because even if you can't donate financially or physically,
money.
If you can be an ambassador and get that message out that there are people struggling and that it is a reality. I know that we get caught up in our day-to-day work and things are flying a million miles an hour, especially with, you know, the internet and our cell phones being attached to us, and you get 100 emails and you get so busy. I've started to write all of it down because I can reflect back on it and really see that these things exist and how can I help more. Yeah, if you can set 1 hour aside to help someone and be an ambassador.
Go hold a baby in a preemie ward. I mean, there's so many things you can do, and everybody has an extra hour or two.
And just tell the story. I mean, do a little bit of research.
Tell the story and find something that works for you. So there's two more things that I really want to talk about. Really important that we talk about. Volunteers, what do you need the most? Is it all of the above? Like, it's money, it's volunteers, it's that person that comes with the donuts. I mean, it's like they make fun of me. Like, I'm the donut person. It's like, oh yeah, she went to get snacks.
Yeah,
but I feed them. That matters.
That's important. We can't work without fuel.
Sunscreen. Okay, so talk to me. What's a great way for people? Give us some options of how our listeners can help.
Okay. I always say we need time, talent, and treasure. Right?
It
takes treasure to move our mission forward and to build these houses, because products are expensive. If you can donate products, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can donate it directly to Habitat for Humanity Tucson to the construction if it's something we use. If not, you can donate it to the Habastore.
The Habastore, one of my favorite places to shop in Tucson.
Half my house stuff is from the Habastore.
Right. Remember to go there, not just to donate, but they have cool stuff every day comes
they
in.
They do, and it changes out all the time. I always get a lot of questions about, what do you have down at the Habastore? Well, you have to go every day you want to know
today?
What's there.
Oh, new lawn furniture.
Yeah, exactly. And so time can be not just at our affiliate, but you can work at our Habastore. You can work in our office, you can work out on a construction site, or we need ambassadors. You know, if you take a little bit of time set aside and just talk to somebody about Habitat, you know, your experience of coming out and volunteering and being on the site, it really wakes people up. And we hear a lot that we didn't know that they did so many things. You know, we get a lot of Habitat builds houses. We do so much more than just build houses. You know, we build communities, homes, and hope.
And I see it. And the other thing, the magic, like for business owners or people that are part of big businesses or small businesses that are listening, what happens with, and I refer to Chapman because I'm so proud of that partnership with Habitat, it builds community within the company. It's so much fun, and we all have a blast. I had a meeting with them yesterday. We're all talking about it already. They bring their families. They bring their kids. They bring their grandparents. I mean, it's a day of celebration, and you certainly get more out of it than you give. That's what happens. You know that. It's like you think you're doing this great thing, and then you come back and you're saying, oh, my gosh, the reward was all mine. The joy was all mine.
Relationship building and team building.
Time, talent, treasure. Okay.
Yes.
Treasure is just showing up.
Financial.
You're the treasure.
Yeah.
The treasure chest, literally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really good. And then the homeowners, what happens if they want to sell the house? Does that ever happen?
So it does. We have a ceremony coming up at our October 3rd, which is a pretty cool ceremony that we do. Burn the mortgage. It's
I want to go to that for my mortgage.
I've put my mortgage in, but then they send you another one. It keeps coming. Well, we actually get we have eight people this year that are paying off their home.
Oh. And live in financial freedom.
Yes.
And maybe afford to put their kids to college if they want to go to college or go on a trip.
And you see, Habitat's been in Tucson since 1980. So even at a 20, 30-year mortgage, we're starting to see that a lot. Because even in the last 6 years, we've built 100 homes, 6 or 7 years. And so we'll start to see those get paid off. We've built over 400 houses locally in the Tucson community. And every year we hear about, two houses are paid off, three houses are paid off. This year we have eight houses that are going to have no mortgage payment.
And one of the things that I think we should bring up that I was reminded of at Kevin's house is there's two parent families, there's single head of households, both male and female, and in our lifetime, one of the big changes is there's grandparents that are the single head of household raising their grandchildren, maybe living on a very small Social Security, and those people are also eligible. So it's not just, a mother and a father and two kids.
Yeah.
It's really open to at-risk populations of all kinds, and that takes many faces.
Yes.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Well, that's really good. So another thing that we have to talk about is, and I hope people take the time, is let's get through how to find you. So there's habitattucson.org, and if you're looking for support, you just do /support, but you can find the support button.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to say that even if you go to do that and the call to action is that, you can spend $10. Because if 100 people spend $10, now you're talking about some juice. So there is no small donation. There's just donation. I think that's important. Facebook, you've got a fun Facebook page. Your social media team does great. Shout out to them. That's on Facebook, it's Habitat Tucson. On Twitter, it's Habitat Tucson. And what would you like to say for the final words before I just forward everybody excited about our next two shows?
That our mission is broad. We've said Tucson a lot. We are Habitat for Humanity Tucson. But I'd like everybody to know that we cover a lot of area. Our area is from Marana all the way down to Amado. We have a vast area, and we need lots of need in every one of those areas. We have a big area, and we need a lot of help because we have a big area.
And if people are listening and if they are a family in need, it's one of the things I love about Mrs. Green's World. This is free access to everyone. If you can have a computer or if you have a phone, you can listen to us on that. People can contact you. Just go to the website, habitattucson.org. If you don't have a computer, ask a friend to contact you about if they want to be considered for a homeowner.
Or they could stop by our office at 3501 North Mountain Avenue, Tucson, Arizona.
Which is a treat in and of itself.
Yeah.
Say that address again.
3501 North Mountain Avenue. Tucson, Arizona, 85719. Stop by, you could ask for me, and I'll give you a tour of the building.
Cool building. Really cool building. And we have I always say this, amazing shows coming up on November 12th. Danielle Riley and Anna Kiley from Dolphin Free Arizona to discuss swimming with the dolphins facility in Scottsdale and all that is not right about that. I mean, I am so on this one. We don't need to have dolphins in captivity. Did I mention that? That's like slavery of those smart, unbelievable, can talk to each other creatures. So these women are on a mission and they are going to try to stop that facility having dolphins. You don't need to swim with the dolphin unless you're in the ocean. And November 15th, my friend Christina Palsgrove is back, and she's going to talk about another biggie, waste around the holidays, how to reduce it, what to do with your Christmas trees. And before you know it, it's going to be Merry Christmas. So everybody, thanks for being with us. JJ, thanks for showing up in my life. Thanks for showing up on the planet, and thanks for all you do. Make it a great green week, everybody. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.